It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Who's sounding a little winded, perhaps. That's called cutting it close. But
it was pretty close.
Very important soccer game, and had to stay to the end because his daughter was on the way to winning, and which they did in the last minute, I gather.
Yeah, the last minute goal. So
congrats to her and them, the team, whatever. Anyway, not a special day only for that reason. It's also another very special day. It was, I almost hesitate to say this, 50 years ago this day that Mom and I had our first date.
Okay.
50
wow.
years. That has a five in it on the wrong side, you know. Where does it go, huh? But what can you say? Important day, February 19th. Should say welcome to everybody, the regulars. Thanks for always being there. That you're the reason we continue to do this now into our eighth year. And we missed precisely four shows on that time because one was a Christmas day, one was a New Year's day, and the other two we were booted out of town for hurricanes. Other than that, we are here live. I don't appreciate, I guess, the value of non-live radio nearly as much as I appreciate the value of live radio, because you can participate, which brings me circuitously around to my point that we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about today unless you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we will switch the conversation immediately over to whatever's on your mind. And, you know, money's always on everybody's mind, especially these days, because you have less of it if all you do is sleep overnight at the pace of inflation. So, you know, lots to talk about. I'm sure there's a lot of questions out there. What should we do about it, too? And then, of course, there's that other little thing going on at that little outfit over in Eurasia, basically. And that's been hampering things. So, all in all, hasn't been a real fun couple of weeks, and I'll let Adam get into that. By the way, don't let it get you down. Once Putin does what he's going to do and everything's over, then go right back to normal.
Yeah, the uncertainty is really what's mm-hmm. really weighing on the market right now. The longer this goes on, the longer we may see this sort of volatility and just sort of general bad mood that the market is in. I'm really not sure how it's going to end, but it needs to resolve itself quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you see how volatile the market is based on that particular thing, because earlier this week, he let out a little epistle that said he's backing off some of the troops, and the market shot up. And, of course, we all looked at each other and said, he's lying.
There's no way that's true.
Yeah, he's moving some troops.
In.
But not that direction.
No. Ridiculous.
So yeah. When that's over, things will get back to normal. And, frankly, you know, what we're down so far, we have not even entered correction territory
an
official
We have basis. Not.
Dipped into it, but pulled back up.
The only good news right now is that we're seeing bullish sentiment collapse and bearish sentiment has gone through the roof. And you may ask, why is that good news that people are not bullish on the market? Well, it's because retail investors generally get it wrong. Sentiment is now lower than it was at the depths of the COVID crash. That's how bad people are feeling about the stock market right now.
And why? Putin and inflation.
Well, I think there's more to it than just those things. Those are the two major things. The Putin situation is secondary. I think inflation is what this trend started a while back.
Yeah.
So I think that really is what is on people's minds more than anything. There's only been two times where the spread between the bullish and bearish sentiment was lower. One was in early 2016, and the other one was in the depths of the Great Recession. Ironically, 2016 was the last time we started rate hikes after the financial crisis. And we were coming off a long period of zero interest rates, and we went in, and I think, did we start with a half point or a quarter point on that one?
I don't remember exactly.
I think it was a half point, and people did not like that.
No.
And the way that we came out of that one, Jamie Dimon actually came in and bought a bunch of his own company stock, JP Morgan, and people said, whoa.
At a grave discount.
He's bullish on the market. Yeah. Why aren't we? And it was like right after that,
boom.
Everyone suddenly just the sentiment turned around and everyone started buying and we went on a historic bull run from there. So I'm not saying that this situation is exactly like that because it's not, but there are a lot of similarities between those two time periods. So something to look at. The other time that this happened, the Great Recession, look what happened after the Great Recession ended. Same thing. So the two other times that we saw these scenarios set up like this, we went on historic stock market record-breaking high after high. So it's something to think about for sure. So far, as you mentioned, we're not in correction territory on the S&P 500. It's down about 8.6% from its recent high posted on January 3rd. It's not a technical correction, but it certainly feels like one. And there's a bunch of sectors and many stocks that have already fallen further than that 10% mark. So there are corrections. The NASDAQ is definitely in a correction, but the S&P is not technically there yet. The fact that this decline is happening during an earnings season that was extremely strong by historical standards, it's a little confusing. The earnings beat rate stands at 73%, while the revenue beat rate is at 75%. The long-term averages on those numbers are 59 and 56.5%, to put it in perspective. So that's a really, really strong season. Not only that, but companies are raising their forecasts about 7% more than they're lowering. So when you see a net that is that high, that's usually a really good sign for the coming year. So companies are very bullish on 2022, while investors are not. A little bit of a weird disconnect there.
So you young people out there who are investing month to month in your 401ks, crank it up if you can, but do anything but stop contributing. Just keep buying and buying, and if you can put more in, do it. This is your best friend out there right now.
Absolutely. The corporate world is pretty bullish, but the average American is very pessimistic, and we're seeing it all over the place, whether it's the pandemic, the inflation, the politics, the news, the Ukraine situation, or something else. All measures of consumer sentiment right now are extremely low. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Tracker is at the lowest level since more than a decade. The Bespoke Consumer Pulse Report shows 47% of consumers have a negative or very negative view of the economy. The only other time that level was reached was at the bottom of the COVID crash a couple years ago. Consumers are feeling pessimistic about just about everything right now, including their job prospects and their financial futures. Less than 15% of those surveyed had a positive outlook, while over 80% had a negative outlook. Again, that's sort of a all-time low and high on those numbers.
It just defies logic, too.
For the first time in the history of the General Society survey, the amount of Americans who consider themselves, quote-unquote, very happy, dropped below those considering themselves, quote-unquote, not too happy. Basically, Americans have never been as pessimistic as they are right now. Normally, older Americans are more pessimistic than their younger counterparts, but in the last couple of years, it's actually the 35 to 49-year-old demographic that are the most negative. I think this has a lot to do with how the COVID shutdowns affect everyone differently. True. If you're an older retired couple who is sitting at home and going out in a limited fashion, they didn't affect you as much.
No.
If you're young and going out to eat and have kids and you're involved in schools, it's a lot different for you. So I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, and if you've got assigned to working at home and all of a sudden now places are starting to open up, there's probably a few people that are just very unhappy that they're probably going to have to go back to the office.
Well, there's that. And then what do I do with my kids? And
there's that.
Maybe your daycare isn't open or you haven't been paying for daycare. Now you have to pay for it again and it's twice as much.
And of course, we're all really, really tired of masking and all that.
Yes.
Viva la Florida, I say. I couldn't stand to live anybody anywhere but here right at the moment. Anyway, we got lots to do today. Got to pay some bills first, so we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as usual, we have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And it will be this week. I don't want to scare anybody with this, but it's a mathematical trivia question. But the good news is you don't have to compute anything. It's more of a logic and a guess put together. But we talk a lot on this show about statistics, market statistics, economic statistics, so on and so forth. And we're always very careful to point out the difference between an average of something and a median something. The average, let's say at the average age of a group of people, you add up all the ages and divide by the number of people, and that's the average age. But the median is different. The median is the number at which there are as many people above the median as there are below the median. And it makes a big difference when you're talking about certain topics. Today's topic is net worth. The average net worth for American households is $749,000. Now, if your net worth is under that, you might feel bad. But you shouldn't, because that's just an average. What is the median net worth? And I hope you all picked up on the clue that it's lower than that. So I need it within about $5,000 or so. It depends on the time of the day and my generous feeling if the phone rings.
All right.
But it, like I said, it's a mathematical concept, but it's a logic and guessing number. All right. Should mention a couple of things. Retail sales are booming, things like that. If you're looking for reasons for optimism, the economics in the country are absolutely chock full of reasons to be optimistic.
They are. It's such a weird time right now, because I think this crazy inflation has everybody worried, as it should. The producer price index was up 1% in January, just in January. What was that, 9% for the year?
10%. And food was 1.6%.
9.7 is what it was. So we're really feeling it on that end. But so there's that, and that is a tough thing to get your mind around. But the Fed is about to start raising rates, and that will help. It won't help immediately, but it will help over the course of this rate hike cycle. You will start to see some of that ease.
Now, there is no such thing as a guarantee, but this is as close as you're going to get to a guarantee that rates will go up at their next meeting.
Yeah. I would bet on it.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. The retail sales up 3.8% in January. That was after a really disappointing December report. But I think a lot of people pushed their holiday shopping forward in the year because they were worried that they wouldn't be able to find what they needed on the shelves in December.
And they were right.
And you can see retail sales are up a huge amount in the past year. They're 13% versus a year ago. That is not normal retail sales growth in a year. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it certainly is. So there really is hardly anything to fear, if I might, except fear itself. How's that?
Terrible.
I thought so. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys. So we have the worst possible scenario going on for renters like me. We have rents going up, housing prices going up, interest rates going up, and people are, I know I've talked to other renters, and they're scared of being shut out of the market.
That's
and
a good
we,
point.
And away we are, too.
Yes, I agree.
Is interest rates on mortgages more dependent on the 10-year Treasury rates and how they're going up or down, or the Federal Reserve?
Federal Reserve doesn't really have an impact on mortgage rates to speak of.
I think there's some.
In a general sense, if they're in a rate hiking period, yes, mortgage rates are probably going to rise along with it. But what the Fed does not cause the mortgage rate to
indirectly
change. It influences but doesn't cause it. How's that?
Yeah. That is an interesting observation.
It is.
I had not thought about it that way, but you can't buy a house right now, not because you can't afford it, you can't find one to buy. And so while rates are cheap, everyone's scrambling to buy a house and there aren't any available. And meanwhile, you're getting hit on your current place by your landlord because rents are rising and there's really nothing you can do about it because you can't go to another unit because it's going to be more expensive too. And then you have to pay to move. So that is true. Renters are in a real bind, and that could contribute to why younger people are feeling this more than older people in the current environment. I hadn't thought about that.
No, I hadn't either, but you make a good point. What are you looking to do about it, aside from trying to make more money?
So we're, right now, we're getting pre-qualified with D.R. Horton. They have some townhouses that they're building in Duval and St. John's, and we're not sure where. I talked to somebody at D.R. Horton, and they said they put 11 townhouses on the market, and within 2 hours, 8 of them got sold.
Wow.
And they're also making sure that they're not selling to investors. So
yeah,
I think a lot of what's going on is investor speculation, and luckily they're not playing that game, and they're you got to live in the place in order to buy from them.
Good. A lot of places have covenants like that, and I think it's a good protection for the owners.
When I bought in 2007, I bought a new house, and I had to sign a contract that said I would not sell it within a year of purchasing it, so I couldn't flip it.
I like that, too.
I think it might have been the same builder, actually. I can't remember. But
Well, everybody has one obvious characteristic. They need more money, so a lot of people are getting second jobs and so on. But locking yourself in with a pre-qualification is a good idea. I don't know if you were listening to Angela and Howard in the previous hour, but they were talking about all the things that builders are doing. Like, you'll sign a contract at X price, but they have a clause in there that if their material price goes up, you pay, and that kind of thing. So it's even a lot more complex to lock yourself in now than it should be in normal times. But I can't think of a better way to fight it.
Yeah, and the problem is really, really bad here in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, I just pulled this off of the Jacksonville Business Journal yesterday. It's on Zillow's list of the hottest U.S. housing markets in 2022. And it's not just on the list. It's number two behind Tampa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very bad sign for buyers and a wonderful thing for sellers.
Yeah, and owners.
Yep.
And so bad for renters as well, though.
Well, I hope you get it locked in. Obviously, the best thing you could do right at the moment, since we're in that Tina phase of things now, there is no alternative. If you want to lock something in, it's got to be an interest rate and a price that are current, both seemingly to go up.
I have a feeling over the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see an explosion of homeless people. I've already seen a bunch of homeless people around Jacksonville. I don't know if you all are noticing.
We're seeing it everywhere.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And how do you solve it?
I mean, our rent is around $1,600 on a two-bedroom, mm-hmm. and it was $1,400, and it's probably going to be $2,000 within 2 years.
I mean,
at the pace they're going.
Yeah. That's exactly the numbers I've heard from other mm-hmm. friends of mine who rent is – a couple hundred bucks a month increase on a two-bedroom just for this year, and then no guarantee about the next year after that either.
No, and there's no let-up in sight about the rate of inflation either. You saw that, as Adam was just saying a few minutes ago, you saw that with the PPI, the Producer Price Index for mm-hmm. January. That's the biggest increase since, well, I don't know, 2004 or something like that. I don't know, but it's accelerating.
I told my wife the other day, it's sort of like a game in middle school. You play with musical chairs. When they stop the music, you got to find a seat to sit down on, and there's not enough seats to go around.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm very concerned about all this, and I could help fix it immediately, but nobody will ask. Drill, baby, drill.
Well, that's part of it. Part of it is that Florida's not unique in this. I think Texas and Tennessee and Georgia are seeing the same phenomenon, probably Nevada to some degree, Utah. Those are states that people are moving to from high cost, high COVID restriction, Democrat-run states. So, I mean, it's truly amazing the amount of New York, New Jersey, and California license plates that I've seen on the road in the past year. They are
all
everywhere.
Over the place.
And they're moving here in droves. Mm-hmm. And that is contributing to it as well, because they're selling multi-million dollar houses up in high cost states and coming here and buying. They think that $1 million home is a bargain.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, it's crazy. We just heard about a friend of ours whose brother moved here from California, bought a $3.3 million house in Ponte Vedra. Couldn't believe how much you get for your money here. Okay.
Yeah.
Perspective. It's all about.
It's all relative. Yeah. Perspective. There are no easy answers, but I think you're pursuing a logical path.
So, I mean, you guys see in the next few years, Florida could end up being like California in terms of unaffordability.
I know. It's a fear of mine. I've thought about that a lot recently. Mm-hmm. I don't see any good coming from that. I've always enjoyed Jacksonville because it is affordable.
Exactly. Very true. Well, Chuck, you want to take a shot at the trivia before the music ends up?
105,000.
Woo. I'm going to tell you're low, but you're on the right track.
Not by a whole
bunch. But thank you for the concept and the base on it. Now somebody else might nail it.
Last thought, I'm going to vote for Nick today. Everyone get out.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to mention that after the break, but thanks for bringing it up, and thanks for voting for him.
Love
I know
it.
He appreciates it.
All right. We appreciate the call. We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to have to pay a few more bills. Then I want to look back at last week's show with some things we were discussing that have suddenly become even more relevant. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still open. We know that the average American household net worth is $749,000. What is the median net worth? And we know that $105,000 is a bit low. Now, I was looking through some of the notes and such, especially from last week, early this morning. I came across something I thought it's a nice little review. It's about inflation, how it's here and always has been. And there's some points in here that we touched on a little bit last week about how we thought it was underreported, particularly in the food at home and food and restaurants area, but also in housing and rent and that sort of thing. And we've been just talking about that part too. So we know that the CPI is not a real good measure of inflation. It generally understates the actual inflation by a whole bunch. And some of the best highlights, just to illustrate the inflation point, are grocery stores, milk, eggs, bread, meat, doesn't matter, they're all higher. And I'm not talking about 4% higher either, higher. So it doesn't really stop there, though. Your health insurance premiums are going up. Your homeowner's premiums are going up. Whether you're paying tuition or buying dog food, going to a movie, or paying your cable and internet service, all those things are just up, 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 up. It is definitely on the rise. The printing presses are running like crazy. All kinds of money is flowing around chasing the usual amount of goods. That's what causes this whole thing, even though people try to tell us otherwise. But the shelter alone is one of the real big ones, as Chuck was just saying. Now, during this period of time when I was writing this, gasoline had started to take off, and it actually had been lagging the rest of the market, but it rose from $1.59 to $2.02 a gallon. Still good, but the trend was unmistakable. Now, on the top of this piece of paper, it says blog for March 27th, 2016. Does history repeat itself or what? It was kind of funny because Adam didn't know I was doing this, and he brought up the previous periods that included 2016 when all this was going on. So if you're having a little deja vu, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Well, great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Hey, a little sign about the economy is, as you know, we're out here in the country, mm-hmm. and we had an incident 2 evenings ago. We had a drone come over our house.
Really?
At 12:45 in the morning.
Weird.
And it worked our entire property, turning its light on and off, hunting for things to steal.
Wow.
So there's, you know, and I checked with our son, who's an attorney, and you know, if the government wants to peruse your land, they have to issue a warrant in order to have to fly a drone over it.
Correct.
But the organized criminal people that are stealing stuff and, you know, and are desperate, they don't need that. They can just fly a drone over your property, take pictures and observe the property and send the thieves in when you're not there.
Wow.
So that's an interesting.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought. It also tells you a lot about organized crime and how prevalent it is. So.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
How high up was the drone?
It was high enough so that my wife could see that it was a drone.
Okay.
So,
how are you with a shotgun?
That's what I was wondering, if it was within shotgun range.
Well, you know, actually, we checked into the law, and it's illegal to harm a drone. You cannot shoot it out of the sky.
Hmm. And half of you not the guy flying it, but the guy watching it. Half of you believe in following the law.
Well, and exactly, also, exactly. I'm wondering if it would get reported if as a crime.
No, I've taken this up now as I'm going to be writing our senators because and congressmen because that has to change.
Yeah, agreed.
There's some legal things that are going to be changed. I guarantee you that. But anyhow, we're seeing this. We're seeing inflation in particular at the pumps. You know, it's terrible.
It's not going down anytime soon.
No, it's not. It's not. I was listening to you guys. It's I don't know, and you know, and the sentiment with the market. You know, it's not very good either right now. So.
Nope.
But I think you're right. It's going to flip. So.
Yeah, at some point we know it will. We just can't predict when it is.
Whether it turns on a dime or a dollar, we can never be sure. I'll tell you which happened about 3-4 months after it happens. But can't begin to guess it right now.
No, that's for sure. Hey, can I take a guess on your on your trip?
I wish you would, sure.
I'd say 125,000.
125,000 is in the exact range between 117 and 127. Ding, ding, we have a winner.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's actually 122, and that's well within the range.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I thought
I'd take a swag at it.
Yeah.
Said it was a little bit low at 120.
Yep. So. Well, we got all set up by Chuck, which he did the world a favor, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
you know, all the times we talk about that, the average is made up. I've used the example with Adam of a billionaire counts $1 billion of net worth in the average calculation, and it counts the number one in the median calculation. So you can see how the rich people really skew the
ultra
average
wealthy,
number,
really,
ultra wealthy,
like the Elon Musk of the world, really skew that.
They
number
take
up.
The So if anybody feels guilty because they don't have a net worth that's approaching $749,000, it's important that they know that it's only $122,000 to be average in this country.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, you know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm there, but I'm thinking, how many people are really there? You know, it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, and the people who publish things have a motive.
I don't know if you can hear our chickens in the background.
Yeah, I sure can.
We are not paying the inflated prices for eggs. I can guarantee that.
Good for you. I love it. Got to save somewhere.
I'm out in the pasture.
All right,
appreciate you guys.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your name and address, and we'll send you a little something from Mr. Bales.
Keep a handle on that drone thing because I'm about to fire off.
Oh, trust me.
About to fire off the, you know, they're always passing the collection basket for campaigns.
Yeah.
That collection basket's going to end up right back in their lap with some legislation attached to it.
I love it. Thank you. All right, I'll put you on hold.
The other thing about those types of numbers, like net worth, is that they really need to be divided by age because it's not fair to compare a 18-year-old who just got out of high school to a 55-year-old who's worked for 30 years.
I actually have all those numbers.
Yeah.
I derived the trivia question today because I needed to be sort of general. But we'll report on that maybe as soon as next week. It's nice to know how you're doing relative to
your peers,
the rest of
though,
the world.
Really. But comparing it across the spectrum of ages is unless you're born wealthy or born into money, how are you going to have a net worth above zero when you get out of high school?
Exactly. Especially when you're young and you buy a house, you're certainly not going to pay cash for it. So there you go. Your net worth goes boom, comes back. Now, I was just talking about crime and that kind of thing. And I pulled this article this week, too. Illicit crypto wallets hold over $25 billion as hacks and thefts mushroom. Now, I got to think about this a little bit. $3.6 billion in Bitcoin was recovered by the Department of Justice. We remember that thing. And 20% of crypto has just disappeared from the face of the earth. And now most of this money is being found in foreign banks and shell corporations. Now, if crypto sells itself on the concept that it's so safe because everybody's got it, and once you have yours, it's good, who the hell's losing all this to the criminals?
I was having this discussion last night with a friend of mine, but if you think that your crypto is not traceable, you may want to check that because
it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just the early days of tracing digital cash, but I it's not going to get any better.
And if you are thinking of or have done Vixen 2, whatever you are, doing some transactions that would otherwise be taxable, don't. This is going on your tax returns too, people. They're clamping down on it. Just another reason to avoid it, in my opinion. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I think, well, first off, lines are open, 904-222-8255. I'm going to shift this discussion a little bit over to gold. As you know, commodities are very volatile, so in a volatile market, that makes commodities even more volatile. And, of course, it brings out all the precious metals firms, and you start hearing more and more of the advertisements and the actors and financial people and so on that they hire to tell them to buy gold and this, that, and the other thing. Well, you probably know a lot of the names if you think about it because you've heard these commercials over and over, and I'm not picking on any of them. I'm just going to give you some public information. One of the earliest ones I ever remembered was a company called Lear Capital. Buy your gold from Lear Capital. But they just agreed to pay $6 million in fines for what they were doing that was, shall we say, I don't want to say illegal necessarily. I want to say unethical. They did some things that were not, they didn't follow the law in New York for one thing, but what they were really doing was the unethical part. Why were they fined? Well, they fraudulently did not disclose their commission rates to several people. And the commission rates were as high as, ready? 33% undisclosed commission.
Seems a little high.
So let's talk about the claim that you need to protect your retirement with gold. Well, you can get two-thirds as much gold as your dollar would get if you bought GLD or IAU, the exchange-traded funds, and it costs them $6 million. The hidden commissions were charged on over $43 million in sales since 2014. They didn't register as a commodity broker-dealer, a commodity investment advisor, and a telemarketer in New York. And they claim that the client's long-term financial security is our main concern, but we're sure happy to get this one behind us.
Right.
Be careful, people. Be really, really careful. And if you're even thinking of buying gold from any of these outfits, check the spot price of gold before you go any further. I told Adam, I've seen some other ones that were charging as much as 66% on some of the precious metals.
Off of that $43 million in sales, they would have made about $14 million.
Yeah, and they had to pay six. They probably didn't do it on all of the sales, but
yeah,
$6 million seems to me. Unless there's an equal amount in compensation to the buyers, yeah, getting off real easy. All right, now let's flip-flop over to good news.
Okay.
Here's some good news. The total number of certified financial planners, CFPs, of which we are both in the number, it hit about 92,000. Actually, it was 92,055 last year.
Hmm.
I'm number 54608 or something like that. So in the 21 years I've been certified, it's had a lot of growth around the world. But what's happening now is even more interesting than just the growth in CFPs. There are record numbers now of blacks, Hispanics, and women coming into this job. And it is an absolutely wonderful profession if you satisfy three things. You have to like people.
Yes.
You have to be good, passable at least, if not better, in math. And you have to love money.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't even need to say that last part, right? Everybody loves money. But seriously, if you are interested in something to do, if you have kids who are that type people, I just call us nerds, but you know, we love people. Not all nerds love people, I guess. But if you're looking for a way to direct your children into something that could serve them very well for the rest of time, because the public is very underserved, even by the 92,000. We need many, many, many more. There are at least 40,000 advisors that could be put into the market, I guess, over the next couple of years, and it would be very helpful. And the problem that I had 21 years ago was you couldn't break through.
No, it was very hard back then.
Yeah, I used to tell people all the time, here's how you get into this business. First, you go get a job and save $1 million, and then you go to work for some financial outfit, and while you're starting up a business and learning the ropes, you'll blow that $1 million, and then you stay there long enough. If you're successful, you get it back. Well, it sounds kind of
not a great business plan.
No. But it has changed. Of course, Adam got his, 8 years ago, something like that?
8 years ago, yes.
And he had, obviously, he had his ear to the ground a little bit more than I did during that time frame, but he said there are lots of ways to get into the market now.
There's so many, and we actually have a great resource here in town that not a lot of people know about. The University of North Florida has a CFP program, a financial planning program within the business school. So that is not something that's offered very many places, but part of your business school curriculum actually includes the classes that you would need to get your CFP marks. So while you're studying undergrad, you get to do that. And I've actually had the good fortune to meet some of the students recently. And if you're worried about the future of America, you need to go over there and talk to some of these kids, because they are incredibly smart and driven and know what they want to do for the most part. I was very impressed, and it is a great resource. So if you're thinking about getting into something like what we do, it's a great way to start or to steer kids into. I'm very impressed with the quality of the students I've seen over there.
And I'll promise you now, you'll never be a billionaire, but then again, you can make a darn fine living and have a good time doing it.
Yeah, but you can earn well above the national average, mm-hmm, of salaries, and it is a very high-paying profession. Once you are seasoned in your career, you can do very, very well. So the money is not why you should get into it, but no. If you're worried about that, that would be one thing you should not worry about.
Exactly, and thankfully that's changing. And being February and Black History Month and all that, I want to mention, let's see, the name Camila Elliott is the new board chair for the CFP board.
Okay.
She's a black female.
Nice.
How about that? So another first, and can't hurt, because if traditionally minorities don't tend to think about doing things like this.
It's definitely been an underserved area for minorities, both on the underrepresented as CFPs, and we don't serve enough minority clients.
And I'll tell you, for the female population, the sky is the limit.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think this is such a great profession for women to pursue. I wish more of them would do it. We're trying to develop one who works in our office right now, and I'm excited for her future. I think she's going to do, mm-hmm, excellent. But I think there's a lot more room for that type of growth.
Yeah, we deal with a lot of women, and it's never been an issue, because
I estimate that of our clients, I would say 60% the women are the head of the household, right, for financial decisions.
Yeah, either the sole or the head, yeah, for finance. And in the country, women control over 50% of the assets.
Yeah. And that's getting, and it's tilting more that way, yeah, as women get both undergrad and graduate degrees at a much faster rate than men are right now. So if you want to know where the money's going to go, it's tilting towards women, not towards men.
And remember, there are billions of dollars being transferred now from the baby boomers who are aging and starting to die now. There are billions of dollars being transferred. There's always going to be wealth managers out there, because there's an increasing amount of wealth out there. So just something that if you if a kid ever asks you, what should I do? Ask them a few questions. You know, do you like people? Do you like money? Do you like math? It's a really great way to make a living. So just thought I'd bring that up because I'm very happy that the profession is growing and growing that way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because truthfully, the truth of the matter is, now this may sound a little, I don't know, self-serving or something. What we do helps people.
It does. That's one of the best parts about the job.
Yeah. Now, what we do on the radio show is what I call self-serving public service, meaning we do it because obviously we promote the business.
Of course.
But educating people is part of the job. You would be amazed. If you don't think you know much about investing, you would be amazed how similar you are to most of the people that come in and see us. So just something to think about. All right, one more piece of good news before we have to go. Here is a headline from a month or so ago. Yeah, January 22nd. What could possibly go wrong? IRS will soon require a face scan to access your tax records.
Oh, geez.
Scared? Guess what? They threw it out because we all got up and complained.
Good.
We won this one. Keep your eyes on it, just to be sure. All right. Don't know where it went, but we got to get out of here for this week. We'll see you the same time next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.